kind of have to smile. Saving the old to last. I think our youngest preacher preached first, and then the next one, and then Brother Brooks, and I'm last. The old to last. Certainly, good to be back up here again. Certainly missed the people here. It's really a time of rejoicing being with you all. Brother Brooks preached about seeing Jesus, King Jesus. You know, one of the great things about seeing King Jesus, someday we're going to come back and rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years.
Amen.
Think about that. That'll get you on shouting ground.
Amen.
You know, and we're going to put off these old bodies. We're going to have some new bodies.
Amen.
And we aren't going to be bothered by sin anymore.
Amen.
What a day of rejoicing that is going to be.
Amen.
When we think about that. I get excited. Now, I probably won't get maybe as loud as Brother Brooks. I don't know. Because I'm getting older and I'm getting a little short-winded sometimes when I get going. So, you bear along with me. Let's go to Philippians. Book of Philippians. Chapter 2. We want to begin reading with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I'm saying to you today that Jesus is my Lord.
Amen.
He is Lord.
Amen.
And He is Lord of all. Now, I've been assigned this topic, Jesus is Lord. And as I've studied it and meditated on this subject, I've certainly been overwhelmed and stand in awe of my Lord and Savior. He's not only my Lord, but He's my Savior. And what it is for Him to be really Lord. I certainly won't do justice this afternoon to the immensity of the subject, because I mean it would take a multitude of messages to really tell about Jesus, my Lord. One message can't even begin to scratch the surface. But I want us to just consider a few things this afternoon so we can maybe get a grasp on the meaning of the title Lord. It was given in the dictionary as a noun. It's a ruler or a governor. As a verb and transitive, it means to rule, to domineer. We might say to domineer. We say, well, you're trying to lord it over this person, or you're trying to domineer over this person, or take power over this person. And as to biblical definitions, particularly from the Hebrew and the Greek meanings, is found in different dictionaries, Eaton's dictionary and Unger's. We find several words. The word in the Hebrew is a word that we maybe are somewhat familiar with, and that is Jehovah. And it has been rendered Lord in our Bible, and it's printed in small capital letters. And this is the proper name of the God of the Hebrews. And its form Jehovah is retained only in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6, where it really uses the name Jehovah. Also in Psalms 83:18, in Isaiah 12, verse 2, and in chapter 26, verse 4. And it's used that way both in the Authorized and the Revised versions. There's another Hebrew word that is translated, well, the Hebrew word is Adon, and it means one possessed of absolute control. And it denotes a master. And as of slaves. In other words, you have the master and the slave, or the one who serves the master. He has absolute control. He is the owner. We might see that in Genesis 24. Let's go to Genesis. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures. Let's go to Genesis 24. Bear with me a little bit here. A little bit shaky this afternoon. Twenty-four and verse 17. And the servant ran to her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." Now let's go over to verse 27. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham." That word there, master, is Adon. "My master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way, and the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Here we find Abraham's servant, and Abraham was his master, or Adon. And we see it's spoken of as a husband, as Lord of his wife. Let's go to Genesis 18 and verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" There again we have that word, Adam. Now, it's also spoken of in a plural form in the Hebrew word, and it's Adonai. And in that use, it is used a number of times because the Jews had a superstitious reverence for the name Jehovah. They did not want to speak that name, Jehovah. And they rendered in the scriptures many places, they pronounced Adonai. So it really had the same meaning, in a sense, because Jehovah is the self-existent one. In other words, it is the creator. It is the one who is the I Am. Always existed. And so they used Adonai in many places. Now, let's go over into the Greek. Our New Testament is in Greek. And we have a word in the Greek that's kurios. And it means supreme master. And when we read the Lord, word Lord in the New Testament, it's kurios. Supreme master. And in the Septuagint, that was a Greek translation of the Hebrew in the Old Testament, this was used for Jehovah and Adonai. So this word kurios, as far as the Greek is concerned, really expresses it. It is absolute master. Now, let's think about it. As a master and Lord, he is owner. In other words, it's used particularly as being an owner. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Well, I seem to have missed the word I wanted to use here. We'll get to it later. Let's look at a number of scriptures, and I want us to just see where the word is used and how we can pin down what Lord really is. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now it identifies the Lord. It is Christ the Lord, God's anointed one, God's Messiah for the children of Israel, and in this city of David, a Savior is born. Christ the Lord. This absolute master. This one who rules over all. This one who has ownership over all. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 13, "You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am." That tells me quite a bit. He's God.
Amen.
And He is Lord. And, of course, after his resurrection, and Thomas hadn't seen him when the others did. And they said he wouldn't believe unless he'd seen the print of his hands. And after he'd seen him, what did he say? John 20, verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. You see, he recognized him as Lord. And I say to you today, it's most greatly important that you recognize him and know him as Lord. I've heard a lot of people say that they believe Jesus was their Savior, but they do not want to acknowledge him as Lord. And you must acknowledge him as Lord.
Amen.
Otherwise, you do not see him as Savior.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Real plain. Couldn't be any plainer. Acts chapter 10, verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, parentheses, he is Lord of all. Makes it very plain. He is Lord or master or owner or absolute sovereign over all. In Romans chapter 10, which is most important for us today, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made of salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Oh, I'm rich today because Jesus is my Lord.
Amen.
Is he your Lord? Have you believed in your heart that Jesus died for you and was buried and rose again? He was resurrected for you and he's become your Lord. Do you believe that today in your heart? And have you confessed it with your mouth? Romans 14:9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. We see he's Lord of those who have died, and he is Lord of the living. He is Lord of those who are spiritually dead, and he is Lord to those that are spiritually alive. Romans 14:11. For as it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Oh yes, you're going to do it. Whether you're saved or not, you're going to do it.
Right.
1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, Notice, by Him are all things, and we by Him. Real plain. I don't know how you can find any scriptures that are any more plainer than Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:3. And this is an important one. Wherefore I give you to understand. Now this is something we're to understand. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. In other words, what I'm saying this morning or this afternoon is you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit to really receive and believe that Jesus is Lord. And you say, well, that's real strange. No, it's not. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He doesn't understand them. He doesn't know them. And you mean that Jesus is Lord? You know, today, you can talk about God in our country, but just try to talk about Jesus being God and Jesus being Lord, and you run into a problem. And we read in Romans chapter 8 that the natural man is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. He's a rebel. Jesus is not going to be his Lord as far as he's concerned. And we find that Jesus came unto his own, but his own received him not. They didn't want this man to rule over them. They didn't want to receive him as Lord. So really, in order to really say he's Lord and really know that in your heart and believe it and be ready to bow down to him, you must have the Holy Spirit in order to do that. Have you received him today? Have you really received him as your Lord? Now, you know, he is Lord in creation. He's Lord in creation. Now, think about this. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. We read, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. They are created for our Lord. We are created for our Lord. And it's for His pleasure. Jesus manifested his lordship over creation. When we say God created the heavens and the earth, it was Jesus that created them and created them for his pleasure. And he certainly, while he was here on earth, manifested his lordship over his creation. Matthew 8:25. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. I mean, they were out there in that sea and having wind and the waves, and it was boisterous, and they were afraid they were going to sink. Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Can you just see that? Man, I can just see it after having been out on a ship in the ocean in a big storm. I can just see this. And he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Think about that. There was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds in the sea obey him?" Notice, even the winds in the sea obey Jesus. He is Lord, and He's Lord over His creation. It obeys His command. First Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 26. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. This whole earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. In other words, everything that is in it belongs to Him. Not only that, He has rulership over earthly sovereigns. Now, there's kings and there's presidents and there's dictators and there's rulers over all kinds of governments. But He's ruler over earthly sovereigns. We can even go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. We'll take one out of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God, Jehovah, Jesus. When you see Jehovah in the Old Testament, it's Jesus. For the Lord your God is God of gods. Get that? He's God of gods. And Lord of lords. A great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. Going over to the New Testament, 1 Timothy 6:17. Brother Brooks used this a number of times. 1 Timothy 6:17. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. I mean, the all-powerful, the omnipotent one, and King of kings. Of all the kings of the earth, he is the King of kings. And Lord of lords. Now we've seen that the word Lord is used of a husband and his wife. In other words, he's to have the leadership in the home. He's to have the rulership in the home. We've seen as far as a master and a slave relationship. The master is the Lord. In other words, they're lords here on this earth. We aren't real familiar with that word down here anymore. But there's lords down here, ones who have position down here. And He is Lord over them all. Not only that, when we think about this rulership over sovereigns and the fact that He is the Creator, then there is an area where He has lordship, and it's a special relationship. It's a special ownership to those He bought with His blood. That's a special relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. You get that? That's physical, isn't it? Boy, we're meats, all right. Boy, we Americans are probably the fattest ones on earth. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. And we're in a sex-craved society. But for the Lord, our body is for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His own power. Amen. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. And oh, if I could say anything to young people today, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Look at all the diseases we got today because of fornication. It is destructive to you. It'll kill you. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Get that. You are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body belongs to Jesus Christ. And we don't have a right to do with our bodies what we want to do with them. And our bodies belong to Jesus. You say it's not important what I eat or what I do with this body? Oh, yes, it is. Because you're going to give answer. You're going to give answer to your Lord. You say you don't make any difference what you say. Yes, it does. Because you're going to give answer for every idle word to your Lord. I'm going to give to my Lord. Now, thinking about ownership and the special ownership to those who he's bought with his blood, I think there's a beautiful metaphor that really explains it, and it's already been mentioned. Think about Jesus, our Lord, as a shepherd and his sheep. John chapter 10 in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. My Lord gave his life for me, one of his sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. Verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. My Lord knows each one of his sheep. He knows every one that he has bought with his blood. In fact, the name Jesus really means that he will save his people from their sins. Okay? He says, and even so, in verse 15, and as the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep, and he was speaking particular of Jews at that point, and he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This Lord has power. He has power. If he has power to lay it down, he has power to take it up again. No man took the life from Jesus. Absolutely no man. He laid it down of his own accord. This commandment have I received of my Father. Going over to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Now, this is the Lord, and the Lord is the shepherd. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you one of the Lord's sheep? Have you heard his voice? If you really heard his voice, you will follow him. Are you following Jesus? Have you obeyed him? Have you identified yourself with him as one of his? You see, baptism doesn't save you. Baptism only identifies what you believe about your salvation, and that you're identifying with Jesus, that he died for you and was buried for you and rose again. You're identifying with him. So if you really hear him, you're going to follow him. And you're going to be baptized, and you're going to become a member of his church, where you can be taught to observe all things whatsoever he, the Lord, has commanded. Not only that, think about his shepherd, his providential care. As the Lord,
amen.
He takes care of his ownership. He's the owner of it. He takes care of it. He exercises control over it, and he takes care of it. In other words, his providential care is over his sheep. And we're all familiar with the 23rd Psalm, speaking about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you go down through that and you see all his care over his sheep. And Ezekiel chapter 34, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 34. You read in the first part of chapter 34 about God's word to against the shepherds of Israel, those that had charge of being shepherds over Israel, and what they didn't do. It said that in verse 4, the diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which is sick, neither have you bound up that which is broken. Neither have you brought that again which is driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. In other words, that was certainly not a good shepherd. That was not being a good shepherd. But notice in verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. And Jesus said, I have come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus come to search out his sheep. He's the owner of them. And he come to search them out and to save them. Oh, what a wonderful Lord we have.
Amen.
Now, so thinking about that metaphor, let's think about the master and the servant relationship. Let's go to John 13:13. Jesus said to his disciples, ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. You see, the Lord doesn't just have everything coming his way. He really serves those whom he owns. Oh, what he did for us.
Amen.
When he went to Calvary.
Amen.
And bought us out of that slave market of sin. Think about it. Oh, what a great Lord we have.
Amen.
And the fact that he's our Savior. He saved us from sin. He not only saved us from the penalty of it, but he saved us from the power and rule of sin over us. Sin can no longer hold dominion or rule over us because he is Lord. And not only that, he's going to bring us to himself in his very presence, and he's going to take us right from the very presence of sin. What a great Lord we have. 1 Corinthians 7:22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant. If the Lord has called you, then you are his servant. In other words, we serve the Lord Christ. Is also the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You know, Jesus set me free. He set me free from the power of darkness. But you know what? You're going to serve somebody. You're going to either serve Satan, or you're going to serve Mammon, or you're going to serve the Lord. Well, he took me out of that bondage of sin, and he put me and made me free. Now I'm free to serve my Lord. Think about it. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We belong to Him. We're free now to serve Him. He's our Master. He's our Lord. And what devoted service we ought to have to Him. Look at Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that's one big problem we got in Christian circles today. We're trying to serve the mammon. We're trying to serve the world. We need to be serving Jesus Christ. We need to be concentrating on that. He is Lord. Do you really love Him? You can't love Him and the world at the same time. You can't do it. You're only fooling yourself. Luke 6:46. And why call me Lord, Lord, did you get that? And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, we can really get too flippant with that word, Lord. We really can. You know, he said, why call me Lord, Lord? He emphasized it twice. Go with me over to Luke 7. Matthew 7. I want you to see the seriousness of it. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You can gladly say, Lord, Lord, but do you really know Him? If you knew Him, you would do His will. You would obey Him. That's the whole center of it. You would obey Him. And you know something? The devil puts out a lot of things. In verse 22, it says, notice this, Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. There again, you got it. Lord, Lord. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Sounds good, don't it? And in thy name have cast out devils. Think about those magicians down there in Egypt when Moses was having those miracles. God was performing those miracles. Those magicians were doing some of the same things. Imitation. The devil. And there's a lot of people out there doing things that's in the name of the Lord, and it's not the Lord. They don't know anything about Him at all. They don't recognize Him as really Lord. Notice, and have cast out devils in thy name, and have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you in that saving relationship. The ones that I bought and purchased with my blood. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, this name, Lord, is all important. Is He your Lord? Now, man really needs to see Him in this saving relationship. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 12, but to as many as received Him, that is, Jesus, but as to many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You need to see Him as Lord in this saving relationship. You need to receive Him as your Lord. 1 Corinthians. Let's go on. Let's go to Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, now notice, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe on Him as Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto Him the word of the Lord and all that were in His house. And so the Philippian jailer believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that it's important for you to believe that Jesus is Lord. In believing Him, He is Lord, you see Him as the one who died for you and was buried and rose again for you. You turn from your sins, you repent, and you receive Him and turn to Him and receive Him as Lord. And we've already read to you Romans 10:9. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, that is Jesus, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you believe on Him, then you are taken out of slavery of sin, and you're put over in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He is Lord, and you become His servant. And it's important to serve Him. Colossians chapter 3. And whatsoever you do, boy, that gives you some leeway, don't it? Now remember, you're in God's kingdom now. You're a servant of Jesus Christ now. You're His Lord. And He's your Lord. And you're serving Him. Now whatsoever you do, some people say they can't take a step without it being God's will. Well, when you get up in the morning, what are you going to do? Well, you have certain things you do. But everything you're going to do that day, consider whether you're going to do it for yourself or whether you're going to do it for Jesus Christ. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord, now notice this, knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We are serving Him, and we are going to receive rewards from Him. And I know my time is gone. And you know, you could preach on this subject for when. But think about Jesus, not only is Lord and Master, and we are His servants, but He is also the judge. And we are going to answer to Him. In Romans 9:27, it says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. There's a judgment day coming. And there's a day we're going to stand before our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to give an account of the things we've done in the flesh. Do we really think seriously about it? Do we really? I fear that the world has gotten into so many of us. We are not really dead set on serving the Lord. We aren't on fire anymore. In early Baptist history, we're on fire for the Lord. Oh, maybe it's well for us in this country to come under persecution that we might find out who is Lord. Yes, we serve the Lord, and we're to serve Him. Romans 12:1 gives us a little instruction. Verse 11 says, not slothful in business. What's our business? Really now, what is our business? Well, as a church, it's to spread the gospel throughout all nations. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's what we're to do. To serve our Lord. 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 4. Well, let's look at verse 1. Let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards, and a steward is a servant, that a man be found faithful. But with me, that is Paul, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. You know, sometimes preachers get to judging other preachers. Sometimes we judge somebody else. Who's Lord? Who's the one we give answer to? Think about it. For I know nothing of myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. And Jesus is coming. The Lord is coming. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. So, you and I are all going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to give an account. What's your reward going to be? What is mine going to be? Have we been serving Him faithfully? It's required in stewards that they be found faithful. God has given every one of us who He has blood-bought and saved through His wonderful grace and mercy, He's given every one of us a gift. And we're responsible for it. Have we exercised it the best we could? I know they're striving with the flesh, but I mean, have we honestly, earnestly strived to do our best for our Lord? Oh, there's much more could be said. And I feel like I've just scratched the surface. But do we really see Jesus in all His beauty as King of Kings and Lord of Lords?